What's up? It's your boy Derek here at the Weekly Polls with my two co-hosts at the Tevin minus the I and Z13, Ricky Z. What's up, guys?
You know, you can't really say that I didn't sound like you last week, because that sounded just like me.
You did.
You sounded like me.
It was perfect.
You sounded like Macho Man Randy Savage. All we needed was Slim Jim.
Macho Man just lives in a constant state of, I gotta take a shit, R.I.P.
He's always straining himself. Poor dude.
I love Macho Man.
R.I.P.
You will call him Bonesaw and you will give him respect.
Bonesaw!
We have a very special guest with us on this episode, Wes Greer. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? I thought Macho Man was back. I was like, whoa.
Oh man, dude, that's awesome. You thought I was good.
I was like, oh my god, he's back.
He's just being a nice guest and saying
Slim
that.
Jim must have, Slim Jim must have paid to have him frozen or something.
I mean, next it's gonna be Mayor McCheese.
I'm not gonna be upset if they hit us up and say, hey, that rendition was so good, we wanna hire you. I'd be like, oh yeah.
As long as it comes with free roids, I'm in.
I'm trying to get swole, brother. Yeah.
I feel like our pal there, Brittany, she's going to be a fan. She seems to like the wrestling. She listens to the pod, and she's probably going to enjoy these wrestling references.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. So, totally, Ricky told us about him finding Batman White Knight on Amazon for, like, $10. And I have an Amazon credit card, and I totally had, like, plenty of points. So I bought that joint for free. And Tevin currently has it, and we have all read it. And Wes, apparently you're a pretty big fan of this comic, too.
Yeah, I was on it from day one. I think I've just I've always followed Sean Murphy with the Tokyo Ghost and, I mean, Punk Rock Jesus and everything. And when I saw he was doing the Batman, I was on it day one.
Yeah.
Punk Rock Jesus. That sounds fucking cool.
Yeah, for real. And whenever I saw that in a Twitter mention, I was like, I gotta look this up. However, I've not been able to go near a computer, so.
Does Punk Rock Jesus have face tats?
You would think so.
Face tats and track marks.
They're totally tatted.
I'm looking this up now. I realize that my phone is
It was a Vertigo book, I think, wasn't it, Wes?
Yeah.
I didn't read it. I'm just familiar-ish. Now, I remember, so I'd seen White Knight, I think it was it the first Black Label book?
Yes and no. They were
like their soft.
They released White Knight as like a, it was just a regular off-brand DC book, and then they did a free comic book day version of the Batman White Knight number one, and that was technically the first Black Label book, and then Batman Damned was the first official Black Label series.
See that? Wes Greer knows all the goods, man.
Fucking encyclopedia, dude.
Yeah, that's for anybody listening that is unfamiliar, you're dumb. I'm just kidding. Wes is super good all over the Twitter with all comic stuff, but he seems to always be on the good Batman info. So I'm always like peeping his business over there.
Like, I feel like that one more time, Ricky. Did you say beyond the Batman? What did you say?
No.
What did you say?
Pretty sure I said he's just on Batman.
You said beyond the Batman, and I was like, that's good. There's Batman Beyond. I was commending you for something that I've
I don't know, a whole new series beyond the Batman.
Yeah, I don't know. If I said that, I don't know, man. I hit my head like a month ago, and things got weird.
Yeah, it kind of shows.
Did you fall asleep right after? Because that might be what happened.
Oh, did you black out? I heard that's super bad for you.
That's the best part. What are you talking about?
I've never blacked out, actually.
I woke up 3 days later, didn't know what the hell I was, but I'm okay now.
I didn't even have a concussion from that whole thing, actually. It was weird.
Hey, you got a hard head, dude.
Apparently that could explain why I'm so dumb. There's just a lot of thick, dense crap between my brain and the outside.
Ricky like drank Tesla. So much milk as a kid, he's just like pure calcium. Is the got milk guy. Wow. Who the fuck is Kurt Angle when you have Ricky fucking Z, dude?
I'm calcium man.
dental hygienists hate him. Find out why. Man, competition.
Oh no.
So I really liked White Knight. I read through it pretty quick. Like I couldn't stop. Like sometimes I get bored when I'm reading and I'll like put it down, but like I straight up sat and read that like for an hour straight and I was like, whoa, what just happened? Let me do it again.
Better as a binge too. When I read it, I read the single issue, so it was like one, I think they were one a month at that time. So you got like one and then you had to wait a month and then you got two, but you couldn't remember what happened, so you had to go back to one.
So yeah, you're probably at the end of every issue like chomping at the bit, like need more because I couldn't put down. Yes,
every one of them. So it's what like Wes, I think you're totally right because I read it in trade just very recently. I grabbed it on Comixology for the first two issues, and then I went on Amazon, grabbed the $10 book like Derek was talking about, and it's like every break. It was a cliffhanger. So and I always think of that, man, what if I was reading this month to month? I'd want to punch somebody. So because it was definitely like every time was a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Right. It had so many twists and turns sometimes. Yeah. Like, wait a second. Hold on.
No, it did. It kept you guessing. And it is like it was weird for me because I like Sean Murphy, specifically his art. Just his style is really cool. And when you see the promo art that was coming out for it, it looks like he should be drawing Batman. Like he has just this vibe that's, and he's got just enough of this like detective-y noir kind of style mixed in with like more like comic standard looking stuff. And it's his own way. And it's really cool. But
I mean, the whiskers alone, Batman has whiskers on that. Yeah. I can't see anybody else making that work but him.
But the way
that,
he did it,
gruffy look.
It is like, it just, I don't know. It was very appealing, but at the same time, everything was so oversaturated with Batman and Spider-Man. I was like, man, I got to stay away from these books for a bit because there's just so much. And now, like, what did it come out, like 2017 or something? And now I'm like finally reading it. But yeah, I wish I'm glad I picked it up finally.
When was that released?
One of those.
Sorry.
I think it was 17.
Yeah, I think it was 2017, I want to say.
Gotcha.
Might have been beginning of 17 into 18.
That's when, like, the single issues came out, and then the trade came out that following year, right?
Right.
Like something like that.
Like, yeah, the whole book, just like if I felt like I had all of Gotham in my hands, dude. Like the details and just like the nitty gritty. Like one of my favorite panels when they were in the Batcave and it showed all of the Batmobiles.
Oh, that's so cool. That he's got,
yes, and it had
like the 89 Batmobile.
Yes, and the Dark Knight movie Batmobile.
I loved the old Ford Galaxy. That was when that rolled up, I was like, yes, that was so cool.
That's another thing that's cool about that series is there's like so many Easter eggs he puts in there. Like there's all kinds of Batman the Animated Series, just about anything from the movies is in there.
Oh, they broke that.
Go through that book and find stuff you missed the first three times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it is. I feel like we always forget to like give like a nice spoiler warning for people, but you ought to know by now. We're gonna spoil some stuff.
Dude, I'm literally.
You haven't read it yet. I don't know where you've been anyway, but.
Yeah. Hey man, we just read it.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm basically a broken refrigerator. I'm spoiling everything. Okay.
But you're right. When they pulled in like the animated series Batmobile came up, and it just like every time something came out, it was like, oh. Another cool thing. And that's what's great with I guess Black Label in general, even though I really haven't read much of Black Label stuff. It's because it's outside. Anything that's outside of canon that allows them to kind of do stuff is pretty cool. And him being able to explore really whatever he felt like, apparently, within the Batman history and kind of bring it in to its own story. That was really neat.
The cool thing with White Knight, too, is if you've read Batman since you were a little kid and go into it, it kind of sticks with there's some generic Batman stuff, but he totally twists the whole thing around. Like,
yeah,
having Jason Todd be the first Robin
Yeah.
Instead of Dick Grayson, and then that kind of sets up a more in-depth story for Nightwing following, you know, Jason Todd's death, and then it goes into, I don't want to go too deep, but Jason Todd's death is a big part of the Joker, Jack Napier kind of deal going on. It's just all kinds of fun stuff like that, but he took it and kind of twisted it.
Yeah. Didn't they mention that kind of earlier in the book? They had like a quick passing line in like maybe the first issue or two where they said something that kind of implied that Dick wasn't first. And then later they made it more clear.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like I remember reading a part and being like, wait, what? No.
That's yeah. Confusing. It's almost like he made a typo and then just had to stick with it.
Yeah. I remember feeling like, no, that's wrong. And then I realized he did it on purpose. And I was like, oh, cool.
Oh, that's genius.
The whole thing was really cool, and it felt like it was written by a Batman fan, but yes. not as a fan service Batman, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
it was like a love letter to Batman,
but in like a totally cool and awesome way.
Right, not like the notebook. Batman, like a dude, I fucking love Batman. I'm gonna make this cool as fuck. Like, and that's what it is, dude. Like, I totally love watching the Joker like transform into like a normal dude.
Yeah. I like that he named him Jack Napier after the Joker in Batman 89 too. That's another one of
them. Yes.
There was a lot of 89 stuff in here. And I liked like you said, like the animated series, when it had him in like his cell and it showed the animated series poster on the back.
Yeah, it's got the animated poster.
Yeah.
He's got the cool little Batman bust. There's a little toy Batmobile.
Like
there.
The Nicholson Joker was hanging in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. There was all sorts of little goodies. Like that whole scene, because it's got so many little like collector items in it. It was just really cool. Lots of cool stuff in there.
It's almost like fucking playing Where's Waldo? Like, where's this Easter egg?
I'm going to flip to it right now.
Oh, yeah. You could flip through it. There's probably stuff I could go through now that I missed the first 20 times I looked in it.
So it's got the poster of Keaton, Batman holding up on the Joker's collar. It's got the Nicholson Joker hanging from the ceiling. It's got the animated series poster, the animated series Batman in the corner over here, 89 Batmobile. There's a bunch of crap in here, and it's all super cool. But anyway, so Wes, you like Batman. I don't want to say
it's obvious. Right.
But yeah, you seem to always be very well-versed in what's going on in the Batman stuff. And if I can, how have you felt with the really just seriously insane quantity of Batman stuff that's being put out? There's so much stuff, but it seems like we all keep reading it.
Right. And I think that's kind of what DC's going for right now, because after, you know, the AT&T buyout, now they're merging it over to Discovery. It's like DC's in just a total rut. That's like gutted right now. They laid off all of those people. And they're like, well, we've got the bare bone minimum right now. What the hell do we do? And they're like, well, you know what sells Batman. So everybody can piss and moan about all the Batman, but everybody's buying all the Batman books.
Exactly. It's just, yeah, we went through that same thing with Spider-Man, same deal. There was like 2 years ago, there's like 8 Spider-Man books at a time.
Yeah, dude. It was like when we had Amazing and Symbiote. Yeah,
when the Spencer run started, it was, but they were all different and it kept selling. And it's the same with Batman. I was complaining, like with the guy at my LCS, we're talking and we're like, there's so much Batman, and we're both like kind of making fun of it, but we're both also reading the books. And he was, I don't remember what I was buying, but he had just picked up something else after he was kind of trashing all the Batman just being there. And he's like, I don't even like Batman, but I keep buying it because I like it. I was like, this is very confusing. I didn't make any sense to me. I love Batman. I just thought I needed a break. And I'm kind of bummed that it took me so long to read White Knight, because this was nothing like what I expected.
No, me either.
Yeah. I don't typically run into like Batman comics because I'm not really a huge fan. Like, I'll be honest with you, I like the Arkham games, especially Asylum. Like, that was a great game that I enjoyed playing, and I like that, you know, that Batman part of it where you're in the asylum. But I truly never jumped into a Batman comic, and this, I'm gonna get a lot of flack for it, but this is the first Batman that I've actually truly read. and it's amazing, and it's a beautiful read. And if all of the Batman is like this, I'm in.
So you're saying this is the first, like, period. You haven't read, like, old issues just randomly. This is the exactly. first thing. Wow.
You got it. And I've seen movies and the cartoon show, of course, but I've never read a Batman comic until I got this. Yeah.
Well, that's a hell of a first one to read, dude.
Yeah.
I'd jump in and be like, wow, Batman's fucking awesome if this is what it's like.
Yeah. And I mean,
give me every Batman thing that's out there.
Yeah, and I'm not ignorant to any of, like, the Batman lore either. Like, you know, I understand everything that's going on. I know the villains, and, you know, I just never jumped into the universe. Like, I know what's on the puddle when you look at it, but I don't know about
that's another
deeper into
thing
it.
That speaks to Batman about why it's selling so much now is you can never pick up a Batman book in your whole entire life, but you know who Batman is, you know who the Joker is.
Yep.
You know, his whole rogues gallery, because either your mom, your grandma, your cousin, your sister, he's everywhere.
Yeah, he's just iconic. I mean, I think usually he's the first one that people say when they mention superheroes is Batman. Like, I hear Batman more than anyone, truly.
It's always like Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. It's always one of those three, I feel like.
Yeah, like I feel like those are like superhero the big three.
Yeah.
But most people, like, I mean, really, most people who are messing around, like, I love Superman, don't really read Superman. I feel like a lot of the people I run into, myself included, don't read nearly as much Superman as what they want to.
Right. Like, or do you just like Henry Cavill? What is it, Ricky? What is Henry Cavill? Do you just like Henry Cavill?
I mean, I liked Superman before him, but he's pretty cool.
Yeah, the show was pretty good, the Superman show.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched the new Superman and Lois show yet, but I've heard that's very good, too.
Yeah, and the pinnacle of Superman is, you know, Superman 64 for the Nintendo 64.
Don't ever.
Oh, my God.
That was a travesty.
When I think Superman, I think when it first came out, man. Dude, the first level with the rings, I fucked
the rings, the freaking rings!
Threw it out. It's like, there's no way possible anybody can get these mechanics to fly this fucking guy through these rings. It's not going to happen.
Wes, you have spoken so truly from what's within me right now. I rented that game from Family Video. I don't know if you guys had those by you, but
no, Blockbuster.
And it came out, and I was like, dude, Superman video game? That's awesome. And I rented it, and that was the first game I remember being legitimately mad at. And I was, I don't know how old I was, 10 or 12, maybe? I don't know. But I was like, this is unacceptably bad. And I was not old enough to have these kind of opinions. Like, now I get mad at games. I don't really play games anymore, but I remember being just raging frustrated with that game. And I remember my dad was like trying to like help at one point. I think my aunt even, cause she was close to my age and like nobody could play this stinking game. Nobody can figure out how to play that stupid game.
Yeah, it was like the ET game and Superman are like these go-tos for like what not to do.
Oh my gosh.
If you want to talk about bringing up trauma that people have buried, you talk about Superman 64 and then everybody will get traumatized. So,
oh my god, the hours I spent in that game never got past the first level.
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
An hour.
You're welcome.
Have you or a loved one been injured or hurt by Superman 64? Oh, yeah!
No, I'm not going to sleep, and it's Tevin's fault. I'm just going to be stewing over that game, over something I did like 20 years ago.
Right, wondering 20 years how ago. It even is.
You know?
The flashback. I have the PTSD now, thanks.
Oh, my gosh.
Even
let's go back
matured,
to, let's go back
to
Arkham Asylum. Go back to Arkham Asylum. That was a great game. Talk about that.
Yeah.
Dude, oh my gosh. You know what upsets me even more? Just because I felt like it, I Googled Superman 64 while we're talking.
Why?
Oh my God. Because an IGN rated it 3.4 out of 10, which is 3 stars too many.
It's got a little bit of something for everyone.
That's
terrible.
He has
a fucking vendetta.
Sorry, that's an obscure joke. I'm sorry.
I didn't even remember.
If you have a cousin or a family member you don't like and you want to get them something for their birthday, that's what you got them.
Ultimate prank. Look at this stupid animation. What a piece of crap.
Oh Ricky,
look at his dumb square head. Oh, Ricky. And there's a picture of the rings.
Ricky, Superman 64 isn't real. It can't hurt you.
It is real. It happened.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I forgot. You've awoken. I'm putting my Punisher shirt on and I'm going to work.
I feel sorry. I feel
20 some years later, he's going to write a letter to the company that made it. Like,
he's writing it tonight, apparently.
I'm already doing it right now. Dear Titus Interactive, Superman 64.
I am a white woman living in America.
thanks a lot, Tevin.
You're welcome. I brought in a white chicks reference to chill the mood.
I had a PS1, so I wasn't affected by this.
Count yourself lucky, buddy.
I'm sorry you guys went through this.
Yeah, I just went to my neighbor's house to play Cool Borders and Spyro because he had the PS1 and I had the 64.
Yeah. I had no
right.
Friends.
GoldenEye came out and redeemed it. So
that's yeah. Right.
So back to you, Wes. I feel calmer now. I have I have a question for you.
So
more just like a general. Let's get to know good old Wes Greer. Could you kind of just give us a little background on what you do on the interwebs? You do a lot of Twitterizing.
Yeah, dude, because you're like the fucking internet comic guru. Like if there was like a giant pyramid in the middle of Gotham and like you had to scale that bitch, like it's not Bruce Wayne. Wes Greer is there.
At the top.
Wes Greer is a much cooler superhero name anyways.
Right? I was, you know, I don't know. Bruce Wayne's pretty, like, you get that classic. Like, you just think Bruce Wayne, you see, like, a billionaire playboy.
He sounds
even
like
if you've
money.
Never seen it, but it's just, yeah, it just sounds
like money.
Like money.
You're so money. Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, yes. No, man, anyway. Oh, I've been on... There's probably two comics I've been on my whole entire life, and Batman and Spawn are both of them. Spawn Whoa. Been through the ringer, and I, you know, gave up on that for a while, and I go back and forth on that one. But Batman's been one that, like, my mom growing up, my mom was a huge Batman fan. Like my mom was a single mom, and she had the Keaton posters everywhere. She was huge into Batman. She watched
nice.
Every Sunday night. We watched Batman the animated series together. So really, that all love kind of stemmed from her just kind of pushing it on me. Like, here, watch Batman, 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 Batman. But then
that's
I got
so cool.
It. Yeah, dude. So, that's like one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So like 89 Keaton was my – I was born in 89, so I was still a little – so the 89 and the Batman Returns were really my first push. And then the animated series, when that came out, what, 92?
I believe 92.
Whenever it was. And then it went into reruns for years after. But that was like my real first experience into it. And then when I got a little bit older, probably 8, 9, when I started getting into the comics, and I've just been into it forever. So
nice. That's so cool. Like, mom got you into it.
Yeah, dude. Yep, you never hear that.
You really don't.
Oh, I know. Everybody's like, my dad comics. I was like, no,
yeah,
man,
it's your dad.
Comics.
That's so cool. And your mom liked the animated series. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we got to experience
like my that. Mom's awesome and she would watch it too, but my dad got me into comics. So.
Right. My mom was into Batman and Spider-Man, but Spider-Man never really stuck with me. I tried getting into Spider-Man like the Todd McFarlane run. That was pretty good. And then, but Spidey, I was in and out of with the animated series and then the video. And Spider-Man just never really stuck. He's like, I can appreciate him. He's probably my favorite Marvel character, but I just never resonated with anything with him.
That's fair.
Kind of funny that you know, kind of a lifelong Spawn fan and then tried Spider-Man with the McFarlane run, but it didn't really stick.
Right. Yeah. No, the McFarlane, I still have, I have the single issues. I have the new omnibus, the second, it's like a second printing at this point. I think they just released it's Venom run with, oh my God, brain fart. McFarlane and, oh my God. Everybody's probably yelling at it right now, listening to this, like, well, you fucking idiot.
They said you're well, smart on the internet.
Listen
we're
here.
We're not helping either, so. We're not helping.
Yeah, we're not.
But anyway.
We're just letting you do this on your own. We're letting you struggle. We're not
right?
even helping. We're not listening.
Like, everybody thinks he's so smart. Let's take him out to dry on the podcast. Asshole.
He'll never be back. I'm not coming back.
I'm signing off right now.
I've, I like legit forgot the question at this point.
I got lost at Spawn.
Wes was talking about Spider-Man. Then he was talking about Todd McFarlane.
And then he said talked about Venom.
Well, no, you had mentioned that he was in the Spawn, but he didn't like the Todd McFarlane run of Spider-Man.
No, he does like Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, that was just kind of it for me. I never went past.
No, I'm not saying McFarlane. That he didn't like Todd McFarlane. I said he didn't like Todd McFarlane's Spider-Man.
Wait, so then who were we forgetting then? Who was the guy that we couldn't remember?
The writer of Todd drew and wrote his Spider-Man run, but then he worked on Venom and he co-created Venom, which is the guy I can't.
Oh, with Michelini or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say Itchelini or Vagicilini. I don't know.
It's like Michelini or Michelini or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's some kind of Italian sounding name, like yo.
Yo.
Fresh off the Prego can. But anyway, that was really it for me with Spider-Man and Venom. And once they adapted and got past, I never really got into it. But with Batman, I've just stuck with it through thick and thin, really.
Nice.
So here I am, 32, still popping up. Batman's been through the ringer.
Yeah.
Especially as of recent.
How many Batman comics are being pushed out right now? Like, do we know, like, the number?
I'm sure we could get it. There's at least... Oh, my God. Right now, you get the main run, Batman Urban Legends, Batman the Detective.
Oh, yeah, Batman, I saw the Black Detective thing going out. The covers on the Detective look cool.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, then you've got Detective Comics. Then there's all the Batman... The one shots coming out. I forget what they are. The Batman Secret Files. That's what that one. There's six right there.
I got Batman Reptilian number one.
Oh yeah, Batman Reptilian just started. So that's number two. I think number three comes out next week.
Yeah, I think so.
I've only got issue files, one. Is Secret Files what the Signal's part of?
Yeah.
Oh, that I bought that because the cover was so cool.
Then there's the Huntress. Then there's a Clown Hunter one coming out in a couple weeks.
Dude, the Signals cover was so cool. I had to grab that.
Oh, that was awesome. I was kind of mad the Signal never really made it past the Scott Snyder run. He did that mini Batman and the Signal.
I'm hoping that something comes from that because pretty cool. So when you say you've always been on Batman like the whole time. So are you like actively pulling as many Batman books as you can get, or do you just kind of pick which ones at any given time?
The only ones I'm pulling, I wish I could afford to pull them all, but there's some that I read them because since I write reviews, that's like my main job on the website I work for is I cover DC and Batman. So I read all of them. But the only ones I'm pulling right now are like the main title. I'm pulling Batman the Detective. I was pulling Batman Black and White. Detective I stopped pulling. I've pulled Detective my whole life, and the recent run that's just been since Peter Tomasi left, I just haven't been into it as much. So that one I'm picking up and trade. I'm still reading it because I have to for work, but
yeah.
Other than that, yeah.
I heard a youngling.
I heard
it. Yeah, she just popped in like, hey.
I was gonna say, it's got to be Wes's because I don't hear any of mine.
Mine is still cooking.
Yeah, you got one in the oven.
That's right.
Preheated to 350.
You got to do like 425, man. That gets them done faster.
Yeah. Oh, you want
them done faster.
Oh, you want it to go slower. Oh.
Yeah, I need some more time. I got to prepare.
After the first couple, you just wanted to get it moved on.
There's more comics after the
first
read.
The first one you want to hold on as long as you can. Just hold her in there and say, no, don't push yet.
My apartment barely has room for a bathroom.
Right. After you get that first one out, it's just like, all right, let's move this along. Pop, pop.
Oh, boy.
That's pretty good.
So, Wes, I wanted to ask you also about the Eisner voting. I'm just kind of curious. how that came to be. And if you could background a little bit. If you can't, cool.
No, I won't tell you anything. No, the Eisners is a weird thing because it's open to, like, if you work at a comic book store or own a comic book store, you could get in. If you're a librarian, you could do it. If you're a comic creator, you can vote in it.
Yeah, don't they say, like, something like you have to be a comics professional, but they don't really specify what that means?
Yeah, there's no weird thing. But anyway, the Eisners actually wrote an – I got an email from the Eisner saying – and it was open to everybody at the website that I write at. And they're like, hey, if you guys are interested, we'll fill out this form. And I was like, okay, whatever. I was just kind of bullshit. I never expect – that I got an email back, like, 2 days later. It was like, oh, here's your registered Eisner voting – here's the application, or not the application, but here's your, you know, your form, fill it out, send it in. I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. So it just kind of happened out of nowhere. It was just out of the blue, really.
Nice.
Shit, the only thing that happens to me out of the blue is the fucking debt collector's call.
that happens to me, too. Or somebody telling me that my auto insurance is expired. And
yeah,
the warranty on your car is about to... Yeah. I get the car warranty ones a lot. My truck's a 2001, so I'm pretty sure there's no warranty on it.
Same thing. I drive an 05 Dodge Durango. They're like, your warranty is about to expire. I was like, nah, bitch, that expired a long time ago. Yeah.
The fact that you think I had enough money to buy a car with a warranty is laughable. Right.
You think I bought a brand new car? Get out of here.
Yeah,
man, this thing only has liability on it.
Yeah.
Right, I could pay the bare bones.
That used to be my thing. I would only buy cars that I could afford to replace with cash because I was buying like $900 cars. It's like I've had three $900 cars. But now I'm old, so, you know,
I have to get a minivan. Gotta do what you gotta do. So here at the Weekly Pools, we like to embrace and love our indie comics, specifically Kickstarters and anybody out here trying to get funding. And we're about to run through this little ad piece from our homies over at Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master, available on Kickstarter.
Hello, my name is Chris Mancini, and welcome to Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master, Volume 2. I hope you enjoyed Volume 1, and we're happy to be bringing you the second half of the story. And if you're new to my work, then welcome. You can find out more about me and the team below. And don't worry, if you missed Volume 1, it's available now, or you can add it here as an add-on. Volume 2 finishes the story, and as you know, Rick, a small-time crook in L.A., has accidentally received the power of the dragon and been thrust into a mystical battle between good and evil, which has been fought since the days of ancient China. And he's not really well-equipped to handle any of it. The project has been a love letter to the 80s comedy, buddy, and action films I grew up with, and it's been a blast to see it come to life. So come see how the story ends. Will Rick prevail? Will he get his act together and control his anger? Or will he just make the dragon angry? The book will feature the same amazing team as last time, including artist Fernando Pinto, a Larger World Studios, and editor Brian Augustin. No one left. Hooray. The money will be used to pay the talent, pay for printing, and to ship the book. Not unexpected, right? Classic Kickstarter. So check out the project below, along with all of our cool rewards, and take a look at the add-ons if you missed Volume 1 or some of the other books and want to catch up. Thanks again for your support, and be well.
So, Wes, you and me had that sweet conversation on Twitter about McDonald's.
Yes.
Who wins in a fight, Grimace or Batman?
Oh, man.
The match of the century.
If you say prep time.
No, I think Grimace wins because Batman's got, like, he's set up for everybody in the Justice League, all his little orphan kids. But Grimace comes out of nowhere and just thwops back. I think it's over.
I think Grimace has some pent up rage that we haven't seen, and he's like a secret nut job.
He really
and
he does. Would just,
and I think Batman, you know, he won't cross that line, and Grimace probably won't even care.
Like, Grimace is upset because Ronald became the face of the company. Clearly, it should have been Grimace. He's overweight. He's purple. He's better with kids. Like, come on.
So he hates clowns, so then he's extra mad at Batman for not handling the clown properly.
Exactly. Grimace could take down fucking Jack Napier in 2 seconds. Batman, what are you doing?
Grimace does what Batman won't.
Could you see Grimace just hiding in the alleyway in Gotham It's all dark purple, so you don't see. You just see the big goofy face coming out. What do you do then? Then you got this big purple upside down chicken nugget coming at you. Like, okay, it's Grimace.
It plays like Gotham plays the Grimace's strong suits, like you said, with the purples. Like Grimace is basically fucking invisible.
Darkness.
Right. It's just this weird ass silhouette, and you're looking at it like, what the hell? Is that a candy fart coming? Yeah. Hey.
I'm here for you, Bat Boy.
Is that our Grimace boy?
I'm just picturing Grimace fucking up Batman, and I'm gonna think about this probably for the rest of my life.
Right, Batman's just ziplining, and Grimace just drops off the rooftop. That's it.
Like, how do you even kill Grimace? Or stop Grimace, because Batman's not killing him.
Did Grimace have arms? I'm trying to pick. I know he had the big.
Oh, yeah. He had, like, really short arms. He had, like,
T-Rex arms, right, that just kind of hang down his side.
Yeah. Like, this motherfucker couldn't scratch his knee if he, like, bent all the way over.
That's why Grimace is so mad. Hasn't been able to scratch his ass since
he can't fill his own fountain drink at McDonald's because he can't reach the damn filler. His arms are too short.
There were so many things, and me visualizing Grimace doing things to Batman now,
like body slamming. Like, imagine Grimace in the Batcave.
Hey, just Batman. Like
walking down the stairs.
Hey, Bats, what's up? I'm gonna upgrade this butt whoop into a large.
What?
Here's 49 cents, supersize a bitch.
Supersize this. Supersize these hands, Batman. Oh boy.
Oh my gosh.
I might need to go to sleep.
Dude, my stomach hurts. Man.
I'm gonna sleep thinking of Grimace.
DC won't make this comic. They're too scared.
They're too busy putting out Batman.
This one and the Weasel comic, shout out to Lauren. They're not gonna make either of these books.
They don't have the guts.
They don't have the guts. Grimace kills Batman. Probably don't name it that. This is a spoiler.
We're just going to call it Grim and Gotham.
Anyway.
This got way the fuck off.
Anyway.
So Gotham McKnights.
I wanted to get all of your opinions because I found this one particular part of the book. I say book because I read it in trade. Anyway. So when Jack is kind of freaking out and changing back into the Joker. And it's showing him, like, we see him, green hair, the two different color eyes, the whole thing, right? Is that just us seeing what he's feeling, or is he actually changing like that? Like, is it actually showing his hair and all that crap change? You know what I'm talking about?
I think it's more of an emotional.
That's what I thought, because I'm like, this is ridiculous. His hair can't just turn green and then turn back to brown. That's just silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to be all like Cinema Sins on it, but I was
it's really weird because he does just turn into Joker all of a sudden again.
But I figured it was more just like the us kind of seeing what he's doing. That's right.
It's more just like internal kind of.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what you guys' take was on it.
I
mean, at this point, if Grimace can fucking body slam Batman, I think the Joker can do whatever the fuck he wants with his
hair. He can transform.
Because it's weird, because when you go into, I know you guys probably haven't read Curse of the White Knight yet, but he's Joker in that one.
Yeah, so.
And then there's
so
the part towards the end where Harley's talking to him, like trying to coax Jack out. And for a minute, he turns back into Jack, like the makeup's gone, the green hair's gone. So it might be an actual, like, physical transformation, or it could just be a way of, like you were talking about, the emotion coming out.
Yeah.
Maybe just how Murphy wanted to illustrate that.
So yeah, and since you mentioned Curse of the White Knight, I have issue one on Comixology, and then I'm gonna buy the trade just because I want to keep going. What else should we read for this stuff? Because I'm hearing talk of spinoffs. I think some happened already, or there's some in the works. But I'm, you're the expert.
Right. Well, you got White Knight, then you've got Curse of the White Knight, which is pretty good. It's, I think the first White Knight's pretty is a little bit better, but Curse is pretty good too. It's not that much off from it. It's, it stays in the same kind of twists and turns. It gets pretty, it's a little bit darker than the first one, I would say, and it takes some weird turns at the end. But and then you've got White Knight Presents Harley Quinn just came out. That one just finished, which is a whole spinoff of Harley Quinn that takes place after Curse of the White Knight.
Okay.
So it's still going in sequential order.
I definitely want to read that because I just want to say real quick, I loved Harley Quinn in this.
Yes.
Oh yeah. So she's all, I love the whole character.
I like both.
Even though it's like they take you for a ride in the beginning where it's the Neo Joker is a fake Harley for her and the real Harley's gone. And you got a lot of twists and turns there, but the actual Harley's pretty awesome. But
yes.
So you've got White Knight Presents Harley. I think it was 6 issues. I'm pretty sure it was 6. That just finished not that long ago, and that takes place after Curse. So the story's going, and then you've got there's a Nightwing one coming out. There's a Batgirl one coming out. And then he's doing the third volume of White Knight, which is called Beyond White Knight. But there's no real details out about that other than the title right now.
Oh, boy.
Sweet. That's awesome. So there's more to come for those of us who still want more of this. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely – I'm writing it down as you're saying it because I had heard about Nightwing, but I didn't know they were doing Batgirl or – I don't even think I knew they were doing another volume of White Knight. And I'm yeah, I mean, definitely interested.
He announced that the title, and it's out there, but there's nothing – no official, like, anything about it yet.
I'm definitely
you know, Beyond in White Knight. Batman Beyond feels, so that'd be cool to see something like that, but who knows.
Dude, Batman Beyond is my favorite. Like, I'm just going to say it. I love Terry McGinnis. And, like, that theme song, like, if y'all were following me on Twitter yesterday, like, I was talking about
he
it.
He was going
watching
off,
it.
Man.
Dude, it's so good. The fucking theme song is metal as fuck. Like, it totally has, like, a Rob Zombie vibe to it. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's total dark 90s, as fuck.
Like, rock electronica. Like, I can hear it in my head.
Yeah.
Just talk about it.
Like, fuck yeah, dude. Put that shit in my veins.
That was so metal, guy.
Like, the cutscene, just like a rave the whole time. It's an animated rave.
Yeah, like, the whole story of Batman Beyond is Terry trying to go to raves with Dana, but he's too busy doing Bruce's dirty work.
Or he's too tired of sleeping the whole time.
Yeah, he's too tired, and he has a weird t-shirt that's not quite a V-neck, but it has, like, that weird cut in it for no fucking reason.
I always liked Batman Beyond, but I always hated the Joker design in that. Just thought it was like an ugly, stupid looking thing. And then it grew on me over time.
You talking like in the movie when his hair was like
Return of the Joker, where it's like slicked.
It was Return of the Joker.
It was kind of weird. It kind of made him look like a penis.
That's because it was Jason Todd, right?
Yeah.
He like when he did that stuff, he like bonded himself with Jason Todd.
Weird.
Old man Jason turns into the Joker.
That movie really fucked me up because I was really young when I first saw it when it came out. And I was just like,
dude, yeah, me too.
He's a little kid and he's got that fucking gun. He's laughing. I'm like, stop it. Salt beat his ass.
Jokerized him and made him and Harley's son.
Like, it was crazy.
Junior. JJ. That's what it's named. JJ.
Yeah, JJ. Fucking Mark Hamill out here destroying kids. Like, damn. Fucking love Batman Beyond, dude. Derek Powers? Fuck yeah.
I didn't... I honestly, like, so even the Batman Beyond Joker design wasn't as bad as the... I think it was from The Batman. Was that the one?
Oh, my God.
I hate that fucking thing.
I hated that.
The big monster looking like... Oh!
Yeah. The Batman Beyond one at least kind of grew on me, but, like, that other one, you're like, it's what he was like jumping to a scene. I visualize him just being like, "Blah, I'm here." It's like he looked like
the
a
big
dumb
blonde
idiot.
Green dreads.
Yeah,
like what the hell? What is this thing?
He's like a character from like a random weird like kids Nickelodeon show that would
like
pop
like
out of the bushes
TV
and steal something from the kids.
And they start a toy line. Yeah. I just create a random character for the toilet. And the
he's like
every time they give character. Every time they give Spider-Man like a motorcycle or a car or like a gun.
Right. Give Batman this big like monster Joker that you can use to jump on the Batmobile or something.
Anyway. So like I'm gonna ask too, because Wes, you like a Batman expert, and I'm like digging down into like the inner confines of my brain. So like there's this time I was watching the animated series, and he was fighting the what's it called? Like the puppet. Like the gangster marionette puppet.
Scarface.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who the fuck is that? Because, dude, I'm like Tevin. I haven't read that much Batman comics either. But I just remember that episode. And I was so fucking scared of marionette puppies for, like, a long fucking time. Like, it was a thing for me.
To be fair, they're scary without that.
Yes. So, yeah, like.
Well, Goosebumps did it.
Yeah, Goosebumps did it. Slappy fucked me
Slappy.
Up. He fucked me up so bad. I see that orange hair fuck still.
Yep.
But we won't talk about it.
Yeah, so that's where it started for me with Goosebumps, and then
yeah, dude, like, the big green eyes. I'm gonna steal your soul. No, leave me alone. Yeah. Fuck.
For real.
So tell me about Scarface, because like I just want to hear it from an expert.
Well, Scarface is really the ventriloquist, is the guy that you know holds him and does the thing. And he's just like a Looney Tune. Like he thinks the puppet really talks to him. And he really talks through the puppet, so it almost makes it seem like the puppet is a real individual character on its own, but it's really the ventriloquist that's just batshit crazy.
Okay,
so the ventriloquist himself is like this played off like, no, Mr. Scarface, I'm scared, I won't do that. And then the Scarface is like, oh, you'll do what I fucking say.
Yeah, like I just remember the episode. I was like, fuck, why are there marionette puppets everywhere? Fuck the 90s. This shit is trash.
It's just like an alter ego kind of thing with the ventriloquist.
They always tried to make also, you think like that the Arkham the game, puppet,
Joker not. Steals Scarface. That's one of my favorite things in that game.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Which game is it?
Asylum or... I want to say it's Asylum, Joker
I think it's Asylum, Scarface. Too.
Okay. Yeah, I've never played that one. I've only played City and...
You played City without playing Asylum?
Listen, alright, in my defense, when those games were coming out, I was like 16, 17, and I was like falling out of video games. I didn't even finish Arkham City.
Did you watch like Spider-Man 2 without seeing the first one? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, but that's different. That's a movie. Video game, I don't know, when I was like 17, 18...
The video game plays like a movie. It's amazing.
I know, but you can ask Ted, and he would be like, come on, Jared, come play Xbox Live with me. And I was just like... I don't know.
I'm a grown up. I've got grown up stuff to do.
Do I want to play Halo 3 or do I want to go to the mall?
Working out, which he hated.
Yeah,
he used to complain about working out and having to do that stuff. And I'm like, well, come play some Gears of War with me. And he's like, no, I got to go work out. And I was like, well, be a loser then.
I got to go get swole like Kevin Durant.
Yeah, for sure.
Ooh,
wow.
Trying to get like Macho Man, and I could barely get to fucking Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's still swole. He's just short.
Walking all Mickey Mouse. Oh boy.
Oh my god. So, hey, did any of you guys notice with Alfred's letter that he wrote to Bruce that in the picture of the letter, Bruce's name was in print? But in the letter we read, it was in cursive. Did this bother anyone? It bothered me.
I don't remember that. I'm gonna have to look at it now.
No, I mean.
And again, Kevin, I feel like Kevin I'm doing like a book. Little. I don't want to.
Yeah, I do. Have
I don't like complaining about silly things because I don't. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. The book was still awesome, so it means nothing. But I'm just curious. I don't.
I know.
I don't remember that, so it must not have bothered me.
Yeah, it didn't bother. I was just like, ah. It bothers me, but not like actually, just more like for humorous conversational nothing. Nonsense. That's all.
You know, just be honest. It bothers you.
Yeah, just
I'm
be
so
honest.
Upset.
It's you fucking know, Superman it's 64 year ass.
It did not. It didn't even come close.
How do you set off Ricky, cursive to print, and Superman 64?
Like, I could walk into work tomorrow and get fired and be less upset
than I was about Superman 64.
That's heavy. That's really heavy.
And I think I'm not. I think I'm not totally joking. I'm going through it in my head. I don't know if I'm
trying to think of something that's angered me as much, and I just can't. I think that Superman 64 still holds the cake, man.
Like, see? It's making me question everything. Everybody's always like, yeah, the 90s were so nostalgic, but it's like ventriloquist dummies and fucking Superman 64. It sounds like hell.
How about taxes? Taxes make me angry.
You know, I'm with you. I get that. Yeah. I guess because that was
more than Superman.
I was bred into it, you know, in early age, we learn about taxes in school. So I just kind of was like, whatever. But when you're a kid, you learn Superman's awesome and video games are fun.
Right, right, yeah.
And so nobody ever said, hey, man, taxes are really cool. It's this awesome thing where you get to give people your money and you don't totally know what they're doing with it. Nobody ever said that to me. But with Superman, they're like, Superman's great. You love Superman. You love video games. Check it out. It's cool.
This is a twofer.
Wrong. It's terrible.
It's like being handed a bag of chips and you open it up and it's full of dog shit.
Or it's just like half full like every other bag of chips.
Or you think it's one of your favorite bags of chips and you turn around and it's a bag of Wise chips. You're like, oh.
Yeah, for real.
Who got these?
Damn it, Mom.
Does anybody else think that the Grissom Terror Oppression Team needs its own book?
Yes.
Dude,
I had that thought too.
I need one of them jackets.
Yes. That outfit was killer.
Dude, Nightwing looked so good. When he came out of the car, I was like, oh, that's cool. Looked like that scary cop man.
They're like militarized vigilantes.
Yeah.
That could be really cool. And then we could get like new characters that are like villains, but like What are they called again?
Bad guys?
No, the
Gotham Terrorist Oppression Unit.
Yeah, Gotham Terrorist Oppression Unit.
GTO.
Yeah, the GTO. Yeah. That's what it is. The GTO, like the Pontiac.
GTO.
There you go.
Yeah, and then we can get like new characters that are trying to fight the GTO, and they can make it some kind of weird fucking power struggle shit. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Call them like the Chevelle or something.
Wow.
I'm really funny, guys.
Or if you want to stick with Pontiac, call him the Grand Am. You know, just stick with Pontiac.
No, why would Pontiac fight Pontiac?
They did it to themselves. They're gone.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, there we go. It's Tevin, you're a fucking genius. It's a whole ass metaphor.
The biggest enemy
everything.
Of Pontiac was General Motors the whole time. It's not wrong.
General Motors to Pontiac, what Gotham is to its people. Boom. Damn.
And Saturn shows up and wants in on some of that too.
Saturn.
Socrates could have wrote this shit better.
What?
Yeah, we just kind of like, he just says stuff.
But, oh, that's like his thing, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was
still
kind of
new here, so just, yeah. I mean, Socrates was like a philosopher, so I don't really know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was getting philosophical in you. Jeez.
And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he not actually author anything ever? And he's known through like accounts of other writers.
Go to college.
I'm getting deep.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't want to. I only took like really like intro to philosophy, but I'm pretty sure Socrates has no documented writings. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, we should
still with us.
Plato is the real one.
Yeah. So Wes, do you wanna? I know you mentioned you write for a website, and I know you do a lot of work with Peter. You wanna talk about some of that stuff you guys do? Do some shout outs maybe?
Peter. If you're listening, man, where the hell? No.
We don't have to shout him out. We can just crap on him if you want.
Yeah, screw you, Peter. Get lost.
Yeah,
there you go.
Pumpkin.
No, dude, I couldn't do half of it. He's like the glue. We do a podcast called Legends of the Dork Knight, which is we talk basically, but we kind of keep it creator owned because we feel like creator owned and independent comics really don't get the boost that, you know, DC and Marvel don't really need the boost.
Retweet.
So I was about to be Derek and go retweet.
Right.
That was fucked. That was Ricky, how are you so good at my accent?
I just know what's up, man.
Nailed it.
Anyway.
Yeah, Peter's my glue, man. Like, we did a episode. We had Rodney Barnes and Jason Sean Alexander on together, the writer and artist of Killadelphia. It was like a huge thing. I had it worked for 4 months. I had the worst fucking internet experience ever. It took us like, we were late going live by like 30 minutes because I had to reset my piece of crap computer 10 times. And then I got it up and running, and I was just like hosting everything. I couldn't talk. My microphone was delayed. Nothing was working on my end. So I was just sitting there looking. And Peter was like, he was on his own the whole, but he pulled it the whole thing, man. He ran the whole interview. He was freaking awesome. But thank it. Like, if it was just me, I would have shit. And we were live. There was nothing I could do about it.
Damn.
But Peter stepped up big, man. Yeah, he's my hero sometimes. He's the knight and the dork knight for sure.
And that is, for those who are curious, that's Peter's Comics Corner, I think, is his Twitter, like, name that he has on there, right?
Yeah, if you're listening to this and not following him, you must live under a rock, because kids everywhere. Yeah,
he's everywhere. And you guys have a YouTube channel, too, for Legends of the Dork Knight, right?
Yes. We do YouTube, and then I upload it, the podcast.
Pretty sure I remember watching at least part of the episode with David Pepos.
Yes, yes, yes. He was... we're going to have David on again, too, now that he's launching the...
So yeah, that was
number two. David's coming back.
Yeah, that was one of my things I wanted to mention today. As like sometimes we just mention general, like you said, like little indie stuff that needs plugged and whatever. David's work, I would say, is a little bit above little indie stuff. Because Scout's Honor has done
Scout's
really
Honor
well.
Honestly, like the best thing I think he's ever, to date anyway. He just gets better and better. But Scout's Honor was like a step above.
Oh yeah, and
he's done some awesome stuff like Spencer and Locke and.
Yeah, that was that one. They still have copies of that in my LCS. But I guess somebody was pulling it for a while. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, the OZ. I did the Kickstarter for that and really enjoyed issue one and issue two's. I think they already met their funding goal.
Yeah, he's already
he just launched it
like 250% funded right now.
That's crazy. Cause I think this morning it was like 190. And I think he just launched it like yesterday. So, but he's got some interesting stuff. So throwing that out there and, you know, Legends of the Dork Knight on YouTube and, you guys do it in standard podcast format too.
Yeah. I've uploaded Apple, Spotify, Google, anything. If it runs a podcast, you can find us on there too. The audio clips.
Nice.
And then I actually get paid to read comic books and write reviews on them. So I work for the site. There's Comics the Gathering. They have their own separate Twitter, but
yes, they do.
You can just follow mine if you want the good juicy. No, I'm just kidding. I work with a lot of awesome, right? All the guys have their own special thing, and they like build the pyramid. Like I'm just a little DC Batman. I cover a couple Image titles. But
you're living the fucking dream, Wes Greer.
Yeah, bro.
And then we've got like 30 different guys that cover all the Marvel books because they're insane. And then we've got the CO books, the Image. We cover everything. If it comes out in print, we cover it. So I'm just a little pebble in that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm just a little cog in that machine, but that's pretty cool. It's not what everybody thinks it's cracked out to be. I don't get paid shit. I work way more hours than I think. If you average my hours out to my pay, I'd make like 50 cents an hour.
Fuck.
But I love comics and everything I do with it, so I'm always grinding them. And then Twitter's like my main outlet that I found, and the community there is just freaking awesome, and it's exploded beyond
anything. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, bro. That's
how shout out comics Twitter.
Yeah, everybody here got connected through Twitter, so look at that. Yeah, that's Wes. I think that's a really cool point you bring up just about the pay thing. Not cool that you make 50 cents an hour, but
right.
But one that you're doing what you really enjoy doing, which is awesome, right? That's what everybody wishes they were doing. But also the fact that a lot of kids, you know, in that, let's just say 25 and under just for fun, have this idea that if you're on the internet and people are aware of you, you probably make money. And then you realize not all this stuff pays. You just do it because you love it and then hope that it all works out.
Right. I did it for 10 years. I was posting just my own reviews on Reddit.
Yeah.
And that's how they actually came across. Like, I got an email. I was like, no, this is bullshit. You're just messing. said that happens sometimes. People are like, your reviews suck. Or, yeah, I like your reviews. Send me this, this, this. And I was like, no, get out of here. But he messaged me. I was like, yeah, bullshit. He's like, just send me a made up. Just pick any book and send me a review. And then did it up. And that's how that started. That was about 3 years ago. But, yeah, man, I was just posting my own stuff for like 10 years I was doing it.
Dang. Yeah, you took grinding. A lot to
make it. Yeah, man, you got to grind. And like I said, I don't get paid. And people ask me all the time, oh, how do I start reviewing comics? I'm like, first of all, you got to have a passion for it because you burn out quick. Everybody thinks it's just read a comic and review it.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's great and grand, but there's so much shit that goes on. But I got creators blowing me up. They want this spelt this way, or they want this to look this way, or this one wants more credit than that one. And then you got to work with the publishers and the PR reps. It's email, email, email. I'm pissed about this. You made this look like this. We'd really like it if you did this. It's like, that totally negates everything. They try to like gatekeep their own products.
Why don't you just write your own reviews and just say I did it for you?
Right. It's a lot, man. Like I said, I'm probably 18 hours a day behind the computer grinding away. Ugh, I'm not reading. Right.
Damn.
Your poor retina.
I always tell everybody, like, you got to make sure you have, because you're going to grind it out even before you get noticed by anybody, or you just do it for yourself, which a lot of people do. And that's, there's so much, like, I mean, just the YouTube channels alone out there are freaking awesome. I haven't found one that's stupid or that I didn't like. There's just so many different angles of the community out there, and everybody's doing it on their own accord. And that's freaking awesome. But like I said, you just got to grind it out and grind, 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 grind. And not everybody gets it. It's like trying to start a rock band and trying to get signed by a label.
Yeah.
We're going to try that next.
Look at all people think, oh, cool, advice. I'm going to get paid and get all this free stuff. That's another thing. It's like everybody thinks I get all this free stuff. I don't get really anything free. I still pay for all my comics like everybody else. It's just kind of like a stigma that comes behind it.
I'd give you free stuff if I had something to give you.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes like creators will send me like a sign book, be like, oh, thanks for giving us the hype or whatever. But other than that, I mean, it's still.
The only thing we can offer you is our friendship and Twitter follow.
That's all I need, man.
And I already followed you like a year ago, so I can't even offer that.
No, just unfollow me real quick and then give me a
okay. Name. All right, I'm doing it. And I might do that by accident with this new Twitter update.
Like my Twitter likes to unfollow people on its own. So
before I started like my comic Twitter account, like I had a private, like, you know, bullshitting because I didn't want nobody to see it. So Wes, I've been following you for like a while. Probably, I don't even know, but you were one of the first like comic book accounts on Twitter that I've ever followed, even before I got active in the community itself. So
right, that's
yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Well, that I've known since they, like Peter was one of the first people I followed, and it's just because he had comics in his name. I didn't know anything about him, but he was out there big, and then there's, you know, and then it just evolved into this bigger community, and I think we all follow each other now at this point. There's still new people that come around, but I mean,
it's the mass of the
community already knows everybody, so.
Like, there's so many, like, Kickstarters and Indiegogos, and, like, just there's so much shit out there. People want to get the word out, so it's, like, cool to be able to try and help that, I guess.
Right, like, yeah, and it's also because everybody's got their own, like, little part of it, too. Everybody, like, there's people like Marvel. I don't know shit about Marvel, so if I need anything, I go to those guys. There's people that are, like, diehards of other smaller, like, Scout and stuff.
Yeah.
All those smaller publishers, anything like that. There's people, like, all over that you can go to. So it's cool the community is built the way it is, because it's just, like I said, little pebbles of a bigger pyramid, and it's pretty awesome to have that whole community to go around to.
Something for everybody.
Like, if I'm ever sitting around, like, oh, I'm out of shit to read, I could go on Twitter and find 5,000 new things that day.
Yep. It is not possible to run out of comics to read.
No,
it's not.
Like, I posted a tweet earlier.
100 years of it.
I was like, hey, like, I'm probably not going to make a video this week, and I'm still probably not because I'm busy. But, like, I was like, yeah, I've every indie comic that I've been in box, like, I put in my last video, and then, like, all of a sudden, here came, like, fucking 10 more.
Yep.
Yeah, for real.
I think it's crazy.
We had that big we had that big outburst where we got sent a ton, and it was heavy there in the beginning to try to catch up with all of that.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah,
when I first started doing it, I was like, I think I posted something. I was like, anybody got any comics indie? I'll cover it in my inbox. Just blew up, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
It's insane. I can't even
get through all of these.
And they truly...
Awesome. I try to support as many as I can, but whoa, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For sure.
You know, like, it'll get to the point where somebody will say, it'll get to the point where somebody will message me like, hey, Wes, I saw your blog. Can you cover my book? And I'll be like, I can't, but here's somebody else. Like, which is another cool part about the community is I could send them off to somebody else. And
right.
Yeah. Because everybody needs coverage, but I mean, there's one person, or me and Peter together can only do so much.
Yep.
Well, Wes, what's your favorite all-time Batman story?
The Long Halloween.
Yeah, nice. Did you watch the movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Both parts are awesome.
So I haven't watched it yet, so I'm excited to hear you say that. I've heard a couple people who I trust their opinions on Batman, and they said it was good. So
yeah, I need to sit down and watch that, too. I've seen a lot of people talking about it. It's got enough
ways that are different from the comic, too. So if you think you're going in knowing everything, you don't. But it stays close enough that it's enjoyable. It's probably one of the best animated ones they've done since The Dark Knight Returns, in my
opinion. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
That's nice. And I just got me the HBO Max, so I'm ready to party.
HBO.
HBO.
Check it out.
Watch it on the HBO.
And I would recommend anybody who's listening, or Tevin and Derek, to read Long Halloween. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. And I won't just read Long Halloween. Everybody just goes in with the Long Halloween and the
Haunted Night.
Yeah, go Haunted Night, then the Long Halloween, then Dark Victory, and then Catwoman went in Rome. You got to get the full experience.
The whole platter right there.
I like the smorgasbord.
I know for Derek, did you read? You said you didn't read a lot of Batman either.
Yeah, me and Tevin are kind of like in that same boat. We're Marvel boys.
I always tell people to go after Frank Miller stuff. That's always mine. But
Year One, Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, Year One's one of my favorites.
Year One's perfect if you got somebody that's never read a Batman. They're like, what should I read?
Absolutely.
Year One, they take off.
Well, then I'll have to check that out for real.
I have read some of Year One on Comixology now that you say that, because I remember seeing a lot of people talk about, because that's Frank Miller, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've read some of Year One, but not all of it yet. But Year One's cool put a good dent
in it. It's not just Batman's, it's Jim Gordon's story starting out too, and how like their relationship starts. It's pretty awesome the way Miller did that one. I wouldn't recommend any new Frank Miller stuff, though. Stay away from that.
I have Superman Year One in a drawer, and I haven't read it because I heard it was awful.
Just go throw that in the garbage.
I bought it because Midtown did a sale on John Romita Jr. signed copies. So I got them all for like nothing. So they're just here.
So they're nothing.
Stay away from All-Star Batman and Robin. That's another one.
In the drawer. Yeah, I've not heard good things, but I actually posted a little thing for the Wednesday polls at one point about the Long Halloween, or about Year One. It was very short, though. And it wasn't good, but there's that. Since we're talking about it.
Well, any final thoughts? Do we have anything, final words we want to say to our good pal Wes Greer before we shut this thing down?
Follow your Twitter. Plug your Twitter. What's your?
My Twitter is. It's at Wes WES _ Greer GREER, and then our show, The Legends of Dork Knight, has its own Twitter, which is at Legends Dork. And then you've got this. The site I work for, Comics the Gathering, they have their own, if you want to check that out, and if you're into all other comics, we've got reviews for everything, and that's at Comics the Gather. They maxed out on characters, so couldn't get the ing in.
I hate when I run out of room for my ing.
Don't forget Peter's Comics Corner, at Peter Smart.
Oh, yeah, we got Peter. Peter is at Peter Smart. Just all look right. for the ferrets. If you find a ferret, you find
lots of ferrets.
All right. Well, Wes, thank you so much for being on here with us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for letting me kill some time and make my wife watch the kids, so I got a break.
You got it, Mayor McCheese. You're gonna be mayor.
Grimace is in the Shadows of Gotham.